Game Time is supported by South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organizations. Learn more at sdctso.org.
Coming up on Game Time, epic comebacks, big upsets, and statement games. We've got highlights from all of last week's action. As we enter toward the end of the season, we'll peek ahead and let you know who we think are some of the Player of the Year contenders. And as always, we'll dig into the top tilts coming up this Friday. All coming up next on Game Time.
Another week of Game Time here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by the man, the myth, the legend, Jason Andera.
Let's go. Let's go.
So, you know, we're really getting close to the playoff time now, and it's a great time of year. It's finally starting to feel like fall outside as well, which is great. A lot of stuff happened this past week. We've got a fun show because we also want to go into some of the Player of the Year candidates for the different classes.
Which that's always touchy and fun, but we will give you kind of an overview of some of those players that have played well enough to at least be in the conversation. And, you know, we always miss one or two out there too, so it's a good time for you guys to check up on us.
Well, and I think as always, Jandy, we should probably start off with the headliners for the week.
Let's go with that Jefferson-Harrisburg game. It was an epic game. Harrisburg got up early in that one, had some big plays from scrimmage, looked like they were taking control of the game. And Jefferson, as they've done all season long, find themselves in a close game, and they came back all the way back. They were down 28-7 at half. The momentum changed. Boston Bryant threw one in, and then he ran a touchdown in. The Cavs ended up tying it in the fourth quarter, and Jefferson ended up with a game-winning drive. He got a kick from their kicker to seal the deal, and as time ran out, the Cavaliers found a way to beat the one-loss Harrisburg Tigers. That was big in AAA. These teams are really playing for crucial seeding points at this time of the year.
And then let's also talk about that Washington-O'Gorman game, because this one was also really close.
Yeah, another AAA game that was fantastic. Washington has been close over the last couple of weeks, but again, they lack a signature win. This maybe will count as a signature win, but they were down 10 points late in the third quarter in this one. Jace Woods ended up catching his second touchdown of the game to get them back in the game, and then they took the lead in the fourth quarter, 2017. O'Gorman had a chance to take the lead late in this one, but fumbled near the goal line, and Washington was able to run the clock out from that time out, and the defense held on for the win. So Washington gets three touchdowns from Jace Woods in this one, who was injured early in the season. They had a couple other injuries they were dealing with. They feel like they're at 100% right now with the quarterback change that they've made, with Jace Woods in full effect, and Devion Bonwell-Witty catching them underneath, and then Braden Jackson running in the backfield. This offense is really starting to turn the corner.
And that's the right time to do it.
I think it is.
I think everybody would agree with that. 11AA. Okay, so we had...
Yeah, you know, every week we got to talk about this class.
Yeah, and this class has been a fun one all year, but you had Pier, you know, hosting Sturgis. They had a big win. You know, we did talk about Yankton, too. How are they going to respond from that loss that they had to Sturgis a week ago? And it was a tight one with Brookings, but Yankton was able to kind of hold off Brookings late in that game.
They felt like they were in control all game, but they couldn't pull away because Brookings' defense is so good. But Yankton's defense was even better.
They
ended up winning that game because of their defense.
Absolutely. But I think the one 11AA game that was maybe a bit of a surprise was Watertown going to T and Watertown coming up with the big upset.
You know, this is two times now T has gotten dangerously close to a team from that bottom section of 11AA that we haven't been talking about very much. They did it with Mitchell going to overtime. And this one was dangerous against Watertown, but it was Watertown's leg of their kicker that got it done. Five field goals. You don't see that in high school football very often, but five field goals from their kicker, Carson Schlott, and they were able to get all their points through field goals, and T just wasn't able to move the ball. There were only 265 yards of total offense between these two teams in this game. So when it comes down to field position and kicking, that can turn you in. And T's, you know, they've got some worries now. Record is okay, but their confidence has to be a little bit down.
Yeah, and they've dealt with the injury bug a little bit this year too, which is always part of football as well. You know, so it's just interesting how week to week you just never know what to expect at 11AA. Nothing will surprise us.
Yeah, that was the one this week that really opened our eyes. There weren't as many eye openers. Pierre handled things out west against Sturgis, which I thought would be closer. You said it. Yankton came back and looked good, but who knows what's going to happen here down the stretch, Nate.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And then we did talk last week, too, about, boy, Lennox has had a few losses here. You know, if they, how are things going to look as Lennox finishes out the season?
Watch out.
And they came out against Madison, and man, oh, man, did they make a statement.
Yeah, the first half, you know, it was some turnovers back and forth. Lennox had a nice lead, but in the second half, this Lennox team looked like the championship team from last year. They put the pedal down, and they got big days from their running back, Ramsey Williams, who went over 150 yards. Tate Gerdes had a pick six on defense. It was a little sloppy in this one. 9 turnovers in this game, 5 of them by Lennox, and they were able to win. That's... So to turn over 5 times and still score 44 points.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Like, there's a story behind that. I mean, they played pretty well other than those turnovers.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously they're going to want to, you know, clean that up a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you can, like you said, when you can turn the ball over that many times and you still find a way to just really just hit the throttle down, that says something about the Orioles.
Yeah, I think they're back into contention. We said last week they had to win one of their 3 final tough games. Well, they might win them all the way they played last week.
Well, let's talk about some of the 9-mans as well, because we had Harriet Selby area against Sully Buttes.
Yeah.
Sully Buttes, the number one. This one was an absolute thriller. Came down to the wire, and honestly, came down to a 2-point conversion, right?
Oh, my gosh. Sully Buttes, just like they did against Falkton, they jumped out to a quick lead in this one, built it up, a strong start, ended up being 14-8 at halftime. But Harriet Selby, they took back-to-back touchdowns with their running back, Houston Hauge, in the third quarter, got the lead. Thatcher Kinney, their freshman quarterback, ran one in. The Wolverines found themselves up 22-14 before Sully Buttes finally answered late in the game with a Wesley Whitler to Jet Yackley touchdown. But they went for 2 in the tie, and they were denied on that. There was still a little time left in this game, but with a minute left, the Chargers couldn't get it done. That Harriet Selby defense stepped up, and that's a huge win for them. And Sully Buttes, you know, they've been in a couple of close games now, and we were always wondering, Sully Buttes, Avon, Del St. Mary, where do we draw that
Absolutely.
Line? I think right now Sully Buttes has a little more work to do to get back to where they were last year.
I will say I think Sully Buttes would rather take the loss right now than, say, in a week or two.
Ask them last year. That's exactly what they did last year is, you know, they had a couple tough ones, and then they got on a roll, and they were serious. And they still have the ability to do that.
Well, and you mentioned St. Mary's. Look at their game that they had against Alcester Hudson and the Cubs. You know, we've talked a lot about Alcester Hudson, you know, some of the early season success that they had.
They've gotten much better.
Absolutely. And St. Mary's, though, really good program, and they proved it again this past Friday.
Yeah, they vaulted up to number 1 in the polls. They just looked the part after winning a game like that. And it was tough defense on both sides of the ball to start this game. Tremier Hansen, though, what can you say about what this guy did? You know, he's running touchdowns in, he's throwing for touchdowns, he's catching touchdowns, he's making picks on defense. He controlled this game, especially in the second half, and Alcester Hudson just couldn't quite keep up with the tempo that they set in this one. And 34-20, that's a pretty solid win against a ranked team from a class above you. So I think the Cardinals are the team to beat right now in 9B, although Avon might have something to say about that.
Absolutely. And, you know, these were just some of the ones that we kind of poked at this week.
A lot of great games across.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to get better as we got 1 week remaining for the 9-man classes and 11B of the regular season. And then, I mean, postseason is – we're getting close to the eve of the postseason now.
Yeah, 1 game left for these smaller 4 classes. And, you know, there's some big games coming up this week for them on Friday to see where they land before the playoffs start the following Thursday.
Absolutely. Well, we've talked about the teams. How about we talk about some of the individuals that had some incredible performances this past Friday?
The list keeps growing. Thanks to you guys out there for continuing to send stuff in. But huge list this week. We'll start with Brock Bauer out of Timber Lake. Second time in 2 weeks he's been on this list. Big receiving game for him, plus 2 defensive interceptions. That got him included. Bryce Blue out of Iroquois Lake Preston. Over 200 yards passing and 6 touchdowns. Not too bad. Waylon Bowl out of Corsica Stickney, a big day for him. 5 times hitting pay dirt. Boston Bryant, we talked about from Jefferson, he was one of the keys to that win for them, over 200 yards and a rushing and a passing touchdown. How about Riley Casey out of Little Wound? He's been doing it all season long. 4 touchdowns through the air and another one on the ground. when you throw for over 200 and run for 100, that's a dual threat quarterback.
Absolutely. And we haven't really spent a ton of time talking about the All Nations Football Conference, but we are going to spend a little bit more time talking about that, because we are going to once again be broadcasting the All Nations Football Conference championship games from the Dakota Dome in the early part of November.
And they're getting right down to it, even quicker than the rest of the classes. So yeah, we'll definitely include them. A few more. Elliot Erickson out of Elkton Lake Benton. He's been on this thing weekly now. Only took 11 times to carry the ball to get over 170 yards. Carter Gross out of West Central. He threw very efficiently, 7 of 10, 228 yards, 5 touchdowns through the air, and then ran for almost another 100 and a touchdown as West Central pulled away from Dakota Valley. Mitchell Guthmiller over 200 yards. Tremere Hansen, we talked about his all-around awesome day. Chase Hermanson out of O'Gorman threw for 350 yards. Couldn't quite get the win in that one, but man, that guy was all over the field.
That's an aerial attack, man. And you even look at the completion percentage, just what?
37 completions. That's all they did.
That's incredible. He almost threw 50 passes in that game. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's big time. Gavin Close had a duel over 200 yards again. Jace Moore, another huge week for Wall. Lucas Pesky out of Iroquois Lake Preston went over 300 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns. And we already mentioned his quarterback threw for 6 touchdowns. That was a big day for Iroquois Lake Preston last week. Anderson Porish out of Huron, the dual threat guy, 2 touchdowns on the ground, 2 through the air. Hunter Sayasavan did a nice job efficiently throwing the ball 3 times to Jace Woods for touchdowns. Brody Schaefer tossed 5 touchdown passes. A pretty normal day for him.
You're right.
Captain Schimmel out of Harrisburg broke things open. His first big day of the year, went over 100 yards receiving. Carson Schlott, we mentioned, with 5 field goals in that win for Watertown. Easton Seas had his biggest day at quarterback for Avon, doing it on the ground and through the air. Davion Simonson, once again, controlling the ground for Jefferson. And Jay Sunson, speaking of Jefferson, big day, 12 catches. He is so hard to guard. When you get 12 catches in high school football, watch out.
Yeah, that is something that you don't necessarily see maybe at the AAA level as much, you know, just because there are weapons in a few different spots that quarterbacks will be comfortable throwing the football to. So to have 12 catches shows that, hey, he's been running the routes correctly, finding ways to get open.
He's getting separation.
And just having that comfort level with your quarterback is a big thing, and having that confidence. Sometimes quarterbacks just find that niche in a game, and they just keep feeding it.
That's really increased throughout the year with Boston Bryant as he's improved. Slayton Wilkinson once again on this list with 4 rushing touchdowns and 15 tackles. We mentioned Jace Woods' big day with 352 yards, 3 touchdowns, and Bane Yellow Eagle out of Todd County. He goes for over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. A huge day as Todd County, one of those teams that's right in the mix here as we near the end of this season for All Nations 9A.
As always, every week, too, we do take a little bit of a break to kind of just update you on what else is going on in the state. We've had state golf in the fall start for Class AA boys and A boys last week. We had girls tennis championships last week as well. So I guess just to really quickly go through some of that, you had Dakota Valley upset Vermilion in golf, which this was one that Vermilion was kind of beating Dakota Valley all year long, and Dakota Valley when it came to the state tournament in Vermilion last week. So in Vermilion was where the state tournament was at the Bluffs. You had Dakota Valley finding
a couple
a way
of really
to get
strong seasons in a row for Dakota Valley.
Absolutely. And then for boys, you had Harrisburg get the team win out in Rapid City for that AA boys golf tournament. For tennis, you had Sioux Falls Christian win the girls A state tennis championship, and then Rapid City Stevens won the girls double A. And one thing about Rapid City Stevens that I just want to note real quick, Jason Olson's been the coach there now for 29 years, 8 state championships, 12 runner up. You want to talk about quality right there. And he said he did over 300 lessons this summer with tennis just in the Rapid City area. So he's a guy that's engulfed in tennis in the community, and he's pretty obviously the right man for the job if you're at Rapid City.
A lot of great coaches across the state, and some of them don't get as much recognition. So, yeah, glad you mentioned that, Nate.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that, speaking of which, we've got another state tournament coming up here this Saturday. It's the state soccer championships, and they'll be televised and streamed live at SDPB as well. And we're really excited to make the trip out to Sioux Park and Rapid City for that, Jandy.
Championship season is among us, and soccer continues to get more and more popular, so looking forward to seeing all the athletes compete for that coming up Saturday.
So we'll recap that next week and go through some of the results from the state soccer championships. But let's get into, I guess, the feature topic of the week here on Game Time, and that's going over some of the Player of the Year candidates in these classes.
Yeah, so at the beginning of the year, I kind of put out a list of some of the top players to watch, and then we transform it a little bit, make it a little bit tougher to get into, filter it, if you will, to get down to the Player of the Year candidates. And, you know, the Coaches Association names a Player of the Year for each class. So yep. We'll go through each class and talk about some of those contenders.
Well, let's just start right at the top. Let's start with 11 AAA. Who do you like?
Well, you got Josiah Hines of Harrisburg, who has been not only great running the football, but he is their best receiver as well. So you got to give that guy a ton of credit. And then you look at, you know, Lincoln, and there's probably two or three guys you could mention on this list. Mikey Roach, you know, over 10 touchdowns so far this year. Brody Schaefer, probably the favorite at this point, yep, just because of what he means on the field.
Yeah, and I would probably agree with that. You know, even just looking at his stat line, not even just what he can do with his arm,
yeah, you just watch
what he's been able to do with his leg and extending plays, that kind of thing. He truly is a difference maker and obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the state.
Yeah, for sure. And then you look at Jefferson's running back, Davion Simonson. You watch a game, you can see why he's on this list. Jace Woods, you know, missed a couple games earlier this year, already has 7 touchdowns on the season receiving. And then Brandon Valley, the number one team in the state. Of course, they're going to have some representatives. Levi Veskerna sat out last week and still has almost 1,000 yards rushing and 20 touchdowns. But when you have a running back that can do that and backups, you got to look at the line, too.
Absolutely.
And I think Hudson Parliament belongs in this conversation just because he's the leader of that line.
Right. I was going to ask you, can you just nominate the entire offensive line as Brandon Valley as a potential player?
You probably should. You probably should. It's not an individual sport up there, but he is definitely the headliner for them. So that's just a few guys that I think make that final cut of players you got to talk about for Player of the Year in 11 AAA.
Yeah, a leadership trickles down, right? That's what they say?
Yeah, for sure. And he's definitely a leader, a very humble leader.
All right, so 11 AA, obviously, we know with Yankton and Huron sort of at the top of the list as far as some of the team standings and some of the media polls and things like that that you have with that class, you're going to have some names from those two schools that are going to have to be on this.
Yeah, Huron jumps out, and to me, their running game has been so good. I mean, Anderson Porish has been good, too. You got to maybe include Porish, the junior quarterback. The running back Landon Hulst and Oakley Anderson, their leader on defense, 97 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, but just overall what he's meant to that defense, you got to include him on that list. For Pierre, I really look at Caleb Lounsbury and Cardell Shufflebine. These two have hooked up big time. Lounsbury making some huge improvements over last year. His percentage is good. His yards per attempt, yards per completion are good. And he's also a threat running the football. But Shufflebine has really been the go-to guy. You see a lot of defenses really try to shut down Cooper Terwilliger, their big tight end who's getting offers all over the country. And Shufflebine has been really doing the job of finding those openings. So far, 8 touchdowns on the year for him. So those are a couple of guys. But Thomas Hughes, the dual-threat quarterback out of Spearfish, has to be mentioned. Yankton has 2 or 3 guys that you got to talk about, their quarterback Tate Bestie. Owen Eisen is one of the finest receivers, just watching him run routes and his speed. And then one of the best defensive players in the entire state, Edley Amaro Jr.
Absolutely. It's a lot of really good names on that list. We talk about the confusion with 11 AA as far as the teams, and you can kind of see it with the list there. It's long and it's wide. There's a lot of variety with it.
Oh, yeah. A lot of, that's still wide open in the air. I think the teams that push their way to the dome, it might just be the best player on the best team by the end of the year.
Absolutely. Well, 11A, we're going to have some Sioux Falls Christian individuals on this list as well. But
tough.
Who else do you like?
I tell you what, this was tough. Even finding a top player on Sioux Falls Christian, they play so well as a team. But let's talk about their sophomore quarterback, Cooper Strandy. 855 yards passing so far this year. He's also run for 226, one of their top rushers. But they don't give it to just one person in the backfield. Their defense has really been their MVP. So to me, Tate Connell, 3 defensive interceptions, a defensive touchdown, 2 punt return touchdowns, and he also has gotten 7 rushing touchdowns. I think Tate Connell's probably the guy you look at for Sioux Falls Christian. But both Wienhoffs for Madison have to be looked at as well. And then Del Rapids is a team that has so many different contributors.
Right.
It's hard to just pick one guy to be on that list.
Right, and I think when you look at 11A and you look at how many people, like you said, are getting the ball in the backfield, how many people are touching the ball, it is very tough to have that off the charts stat line because the ball is just spread out so much.
Yeah, and then I guess we got to throw Drake Mickelson in this too, another future D1 receiver for Lennox, who's, you know, you just watch him on the field, you know he's one of the top players in the state. So still, wide open field here in 11A.
The great ones make it look easy, don't they?
Oh, man. It does not look easy to me. It looks very difficult.
So 11B, this one will be a little bit interesting as well. Elk Point Jefferson has been so good this year.
Yeah.
So they've obviously have to be, it's got to be a couple that are included from them, but who else do you like in class 11B?
Yeah, we talked about it. For Elk Point Jefferson, they were able to share the ball in the backfield. Bo Schmitz and Luke Schmitz, and it's actually been Bo Schmitz with some better numbers so far this year. So I think one of those guys have to be mentioned. St. Thomas More is still undefeated, and they've been doing it through the air, and Noah Wald has been putting up huge numbers. Over 1,300 passing yards and 22 touchdowns so far this year. But the reason he can do that, he's got such athletic receivers. One of those guys, Broden Sales, has caught 8 of those touchdowns for 500 yards. But you have to look at some individuals that have really lifted teams too. And Gannon Knabel out of Wagner has been one of those guys offensively and defensively. And then you look at Max Saxon out of Mobridge Pollock too. And, you know, sometimes he's only playing a quarter or two because they've been in such blowouts. But he is definitely a game changer as far as one of those players that is making a huge difference.
You know, and when you think of 11B, I always think of running backs, right? And some of the really good running backs, but we've got some quarterbacks at 11B.
Knabel and Noah Wald, and there's some guys that can throw the ball a little bit. I mean, Woonsocket Wesleyan Springs, Luke Larson's had a great year at quarterback. So, yeah, this one's still wide open.
All right, let's go to the nine-man a little bit and look at some of these. Let's start with 9AA. Who do you like in this, Jandy?
Well, once again, it's pretty wide open here. It depends how this ends. But you look at the top team, Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy, and you look at their quarterback, Riley Cheddar. He has been so efficient throwing the ball. And then he's one of their leaders on defense. When you get down to nine-man, you're asking your best players to play both sides.
Yeah, you play both ways.
Yeah, and he does it on both sides. But his running back, Luke Peters, has been almost as good offensively and much better on the defensive side. He's really good. Colt Beck came into this year as maybe the favorite in 9AA to win this thing. He's done nothing to make me think, you know, he's had a bad year. He's been awesome. But his teammate, Elliot Erickson, has stepped up his game tremendously. And then you also look at a guy like Jackson Wadsworth, the undefeated Hamlin Chargers. He's throwing the ball 78 for 110. That percentage is off the charts. And he's doing it to a whole new group of receivers. So you got to give that guy credit. 18 touchdowns through the air and a couple more on the ground. And then Hill City's got quite a player in Brenson Vaneklison, who's been much better than I think anybody would have thought. And he's doing it both offensively and defensively, running the football and throwing the football. So ton of great guys that you can include in this conversation.
Yeah, and Hill City had a big win against Kadoka area here this past Friday.
Yeah, that was
so
huge.
Hill City, I mean,
they really pulled ahead.
They did, and they look pretty good. 9A. Got to talk about the kid from Warner right out the gate.
Yeah, Josiah Baum, I mean, another guy who's done it offensively and defensively. But, you know, they had Hunter Kramer for years that got them to the Dome. And then this year they're hoping a guy like Josiah Baum can take him to the Dome. He's been that good. But up in the northeast part of the state, there's a couple more good players. Casey Gaditz for Ipswich and Kyle Hedick. I mean, you could just draw straws. I don't know which one's better because they're such big impact players for Ipswich. And don't be surprised if Ipswich makes a run because they have these two guys on the list. They're very good.
Yeah, isn't that fun when you have a few different weapons on some of these teams and they have, you know, you shut one down and then the other one burns you. I mean, it's a coach's dream when you have multiple weapons that you can pick from.
Yeah, you look at the stats, they're just insane. Wall has several players that could be mentioned again. Jace Moore, I think, is the one guy who's really elevated his game this year, running the football for almost 1,000 yards and also one of their top receivers. Tanner Vollmer hasn't been asked to do quite as much as he did last year, same as Dawson Hancock, but those two guys are as good as they get in 9A as well. Camden Kessler out of Castlewood, we talked about them. They lost right away. We kind of forgot about him, but he's been huge for Castlewood this year, throwing the football, running the football, leading the team in tackles, 14 tackles for loss. He's one of those guys that just makes a difference. And then Tommy Wolf, just like that, and Alcester Hudson, another guy just all over the field this year, definitely deserves to be mentioned in this group.
You know, and you've been to Wall for a game this year. How excited is that community about their football team this year?
They are, but they have been for years now, ever since Heathershaw took over.
They've had the Blasius kids.
It's become a football community. And, you know, it's always been known for rodeo and tough guy stuff, but now football is really at the heart of it. And not like they have had bad teams in the past,
absolutely,
but it's really elevated to another level.
Absolutely. Well, we got one more nine-man class to go through here. 9B, who do you like on this one for your player of the year watch?
And again, stats don't always tell the story here. And Tremier Hansen, I mean, just the versatility he's brought Del Rapids St. Mary, I think he's got to be one of the favorites in this class. But Wesley Whitler, the Joe Robbie MVP from last year's championship game out of Sully Buttes, over 1,200 yards passing, 18 touchdowns, and the way he runs the football and runs the team, he is so important. And then a couple other guys who don't get as much notoriety, Cole Herman, Spencer Melius, Lucas Pesky, all having huge years in 9B with maybe not some of the team success that those top two guys have had, but they belong in that conversation. Avon has several guys who are playing right. Well, but probably not one guy that just pops off the page like they had last year.
Right. Avon, another fun team to watch this year, and it'll be interesting to see how 9B sort of unfolds as we start the playoffs here in a week.
Oh, yeah. They're locked and loaded. They've got a huge – I don't know if anybody can play with their line the way they do. And again, you might give a word to a line, this probably right. Should do in this case, but it's going to be, you know – it's going to be fun to watch how it plays out. Individuals are one thing, but it's really about team success, and that's what Avon's done so far this year.
All Nations, let's talk about that. We said we were going to talk a little bit more about All Nations, so we have to include them on the Player of the Year watch list as
for
well.
For sure, and Riley Casey at a Little Wound has really elevated his play.
And we talked about Nate Middleton a little bit earlier in the program, a guy that plays both ways as well. He is a guy who kind of reminds me of Max Axon up in Mobridge Pollock, where when he gets the ball – when he gets the ball in his hands, if you're trying to make a tackle, you better be in the right technique and full head of steam, or he's going to plow you right over.
He's a bowling ball, for sure. He does remind me a little bit of Nate Max Saxon. Chris Ellard out of Todd County and Bain Yellow Eagle, two leaders on that Todd County team. They just have one loss so far this year. And then Winnebago is the top team right now in 9A, and Adarius Flemister has been their go-to guy with 10 touchdowns and a couple of receiving touchdowns. 9B, there's still a lot to be decided. We're still trying to gather a lot of stats to try to kind of figure out which player might evolve to the top. But I know Dayson Romo out of Omaha Nation, that's one of the top teams right now. You know, he's got to be looked at as one of those contenders as well.
Absolutely. And we look forward to following All Nations. We look forward to following all of these kids in the other seven football classes as well here as the playoffs
Get
underway here in a week. It's going to be an absolute blast. Every week, Jandy, we close the show out by looking at the top tilts, some of the big games that people need to keep their eye on for the week.
Yeah.
What do we got here?
Only a minute or so left, so we'll breeze through these. But Brandon Valley at Harrisburg. I mean, Harrisburg needs that signature win. These two have been playing for a trophy for the last couple of years. But Brandon Valley, the heavy favorites in this one, but they got to go on the road. That's a tough place to play. Pier at Spearfish, that's the one I'm hoping to be at. I'm going to be in Spearfish, kind of seeing how this 11 AA tail unwinds itself for another week, but that could get crazy. Yankton at T-Area. T-Area needs a big bounce back win after losing to Watertown. This would go a long way. Del Rapids and Sioux Falls Christian of 1-2. Doesn't have the 1-2 hype,
right,
but it's still the top two teams in 11A.
Absolutely. And you saw Del Rapids, I don't want to say struggle this past week in Canton, but it was a lot closer, I think, than a lot of people maybe thought. And now, you know, we've been talking, you know, since last week about this Del Rapids Sioux Falls Christian game. It'll be excited to see how this one turns out and see if we might
maybe peeking ahead a little bit. We'll see. But Sioux Falls Christian will be tough. But that'll be the best game in 11A. But Tri-Valley Lennox is another one to look forward to. Two really good teams in 11A. Duel at Mobridge Pollock. Mobridge Pollock took their first loss last week to Clark Willow Lake. Stayed with them in the first half. Couldn't stay with them for two halves. Duel is going to try to get the win, and that would go a long way to proving themselves as a contender. Elkton Lake Benton with the big win last week over Britton Hecla. Great tune-up for this week's Hamlin game. That's going to be huge for seeding in 9AA. And then Viberg-Hurley and Howard. Viberg-Hurley continues to come along each and every week. Howard continues to come along each and every week. I think this is going to be a fun matchup in this 9AA versus 9A matchup. And then Sioux Falls Lutheran has had the best season they've had as a program, only 2 years in, but
absolutely,
they've made huge strides.
This has been another week of Game Time here on SDPB. He's Jason Andera. I'm Nate Weck. We'll see you next week.